Morning. Should we grab a seat? Plenty to go around at the moment. Seems a lot of movement in that. Oh. How are we doing? Are we enjoying the sun? It's good, isn't it? To have the sun at last. Enjoying the shade. I'll go out in the sun for a while and then I enjoy the shade. And then I enjoy a snooze. That's the problem. The sun. The sun's always best. Always be in the light and in the warmth. It's always a good place to be. Awesome. Welcome to church this morning. We're a few on number. I know there's a few away on holiday and stuff. Adrian took Esther away without, well, obviously he told her before they went, but he surprised her for her birthday and took her over to Ireland until next Thursday, which is really lovely. It's good to it's good to surprise someone with a holiday, isn't it? Husbands, think about it. Surprise your wife with a nice treat. Don't buy her an iron for her birthday or for Christmas or a Hoover or anything else that means work in the house. I did ask Tammy if she wanted one once and she looked at me and I took that as a no. Only because she'd been going on about one for ages. This particular one, I was like, oh, that'd be nice to get it. And then I thought, that's not actually a present for her, is it? Because I use it more if it's over. So, anyway, don't tell her that. So, anyway, we're the last one of our series today, Kingdom Living. Love your neighbour. I've spelled that wrong. He's in front of the eye. Neighbour. That was me rushing it this morning. Putting that last bit up. Loving your neighbour as yourself. Loving your neighbour as yourself. The sixth and the last of the series. Next week we start a new series. For about 19 weeks we're looking at 1 Corinthians. We're looking at the book of 1 Corinthians. It's going to be a really good series to get into. Let me encourage you over this coming week to read chapter 1, the first 9 verses. Read more if you want, but for next Sunday, read the first 9 verses. It'll be really good. It's going to be a really good series. But today, we get to finish Kingdom Living. I've really got a lot from this series, actually. When I've been preaching, because obviously you're studying more intently to share with others, and also when other people have spoken, it's just really spoken into my heart, really spoken into my series, into my spirit. So number 6. Matthew 22:39-40 says this, "And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. On these 2 commandments depend all the law and the prophets." All the law and the prophets. I'm going to read that again because I feel I need to. "And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. On these 2 commandments depend all the law and the prophets." I want to look at some questions that come from that one verse or 2 verses is, how do we extend love to others as an act of loving God? And how do you show the grace that was shown to you to the people around you? Okay? That is, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. Something I want us to look at today as well while we go through this is number 1, who is to be praised? Number 2, who should praise him? I'll give you a clue to number 1. And number three, when is God to be praised? There's another clue to who should be praised in that one as well. So let's start with Psalm 145. Psalm 145. A song of praise of David. In the ESV it says, "Great is the Lord." It says, "I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall ring aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are fallen and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We're going to look at a couple of little bits within Psalm 145. But the thing that really struck me, we did this on Thursday morning at the prayer meeting at 7 o'clock on a Thursday morning. If you can get to the 7 o'clock in the morning prayer meeting, come. It's really good. It's at Station Street. Just a few of us and we pray for the church. So verse 1 and 2 says this: I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. I will extol you, my God and King. In other words, I will praise you enthusiastically. That's what extol means. To praise enthusiastically. Do you praise God enthusiastically? Looking around at faces. Are you enthusiastic about church this morning? Good. It says, I will honour you, extol. It says, I will honour you. I will commend you to everyone else. That's what it's saying. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Jewish poetry, that's why verse 2 repeats it. That's what Jewish poetry does. And it will say it, but in a different way. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Just saying it in a different way. It's getting the message through. That's why sometimes as a preacher, we repeat things, so that people get it. The Tyndale Bible Dictionary says this. It says, To whom praise is offered, the one who is God over all is alone worthy of praise. Frequently, the Old Testament stresses that the praise due to him is not to be offered to other gods or to idols of any kind. There is a place for the commendation of men and women for their qualities of life and their right actions. And there's all different verses there. Ultimately, however, they should seek the praise and commendation of God. It's from Romans 2:29. Not the praise of their fellows, that others may be led to glorify God for whatever good is found in them. Frequently, the Bible speaks of praise in the name of God, meaning that he is to be praised for all that he is and has revealed himself to be. The often repeated word hallelujah is simply the Hebrew equivalent of praise the Lord. So, I will extol you, my God and King. Calling him my God and King makes it personal. We're not talking about anyone. When we say my God and King, we're talking about a personal God to us. I don't agree when people say my faith is personal, so I'm not going to share it with anybody. That's rubbish. Let me just put that in the first place. Okay? But our relationship with God is a personal thing, because it needs to be about you and God, or me and God. That's where it's personal. But plenty of times in the Bible, God tells us to tell other people. Our relationship with God through Jesus is very personal to us. It means that this relationship is what goes on in our heart, which is an inward thing, which shines through into our outward life, so that the people around us see what Jesus has done internally. Whatever happens internally needs to come out externally. Sure, it says it in my Bible. And also, that also has a knock-on effect. The internal has an effect on the external. And one of the external things is our behaviour, our words. How do we live our life? Okay. And bless your name forever and ever. Bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever. So how do we bless his name forever? How do we bless his name forever and ever? How do we bless his name every day? Is it through the singing of his praise? Is it when we get to worship with the band, is that how we praise God every day, forever and ever? Is it singing songs? Come on. Is it? Is it? But is there more to it? Is it just singing songs? Or is there more? Come on, let's wake up, let's engage. Okay? If this box, which I didn't plan to be there, but that's good that it is there. If this box was our life, okay, yes, good. If this box was our life, and up here, in line with me, down to just above extol you, okay, so say from the letter I up and across the word to there, that corner is this. Okay? If we look at church in that way, all the rest of the stuff that goes on at church, the stuff that happens in the week, Sunday mornings, the preaching, prayer, small groups, all the stuff that goes on at church, this little corner up here would be this section where we sing songs to God. That's all that would be. Okay? Now, if we extend that to our lives as well, surely we must see that the whole box, the whole of church, the whole of our life is worship. Everything we think of, everything we say, everything we do is worship to an awesome God. Who we say in Psalm 145, I will praise you every day. It's not just about singing. Singing is awesome. I love to worship God in that way. But you know what? Worship of God has got to be more than that. Our worship has got to be our lives. It has to be everything about us. We can't decompartmentalize it, okay? We can't do that. Well, this bit here is worship, and this is the bit I'm going to worship God in when I'm listening to a CD or a tape or whatever at home. And this is the bit that I worship God in, and then I swear my head off. Or I get drunk. Or I beat someone up. You see, it's the whole of our lives. Because what we need to understand, and you must surely get it, and it took me a little while to get it as well, that when you tell people you're a Christian, they watch you. They watch you. Because they watch your behaviour. Surely you're a Christian. That's not a Christian. They don't do that. You know what? We need to watch what we do. You know, we did Romans last year. Did the book of Romans, and the first 9 chapters of what we should believe. It's all our doctrine, what we should believe. And the last chapters are all how we should behave out of what we believe. This is important. Really important. I love the fact that, can we go back to verse 1 for me a minute, Taff? Thank you. I will extol you. Praise him enthusiastically. So that means our life needs to be enthusiastic. We need to be enthusiastic, not just in our praise, or just about what God has done for us, but also about what God can do for others through us. Through us. God will always use a people to do something. He will always use people to do something. It's great when we pray, oh Lord, bring the unsaved to church on a Sunday morning. Awesome. Glad if we pray that. That's fantastic. And I'm speaking to myself here as well. What about bringing someone who's not saved to church? True? Yeah? I always refer to this. You know, you have a good garage, you tell your friends about the good garage so that they take their car there. We have the greatest thing ever. Jesus. But do we tell people, actually, you need Jesus? Actually, you know, let me introduce you to Jesus. Well, actually, if we're extolling him and praising his name forever and ever and ever and blessing his name forever and ever and ever, actually, they'd have already met Jesus because they would have met you and me. So you could look at Psalm 145 and go, what's that got to do with love your neighbour? And as soon as I saw these first 2 verses, I was like, wow. It wasn't that I didn't have a clue what I was preaching about today. Okay. It was some extra verses. And this was just spoke to me on Thursday morning. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day, I will bless your name forever and ever. What this whole series has been about. The whole series, the whole 6 weeks, been about kingdom living, being kingdom minded. Tammy spoke last week about the mind, you know. And it's so easy to fall into negativity. It's so easy to go into that mode. Well, something about that one. What about them? What are they wearing? Oh, look the way they've parked their car. Oh, it's terrible. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, blah, blah. Oh. And you know what? I drive myself mad when I do it. Okay? Because I do it. I've done it. I'm doing it. I do it. I'm not perfect. Never will be. Just a man. Love the Lord God. Should stop drinking water every time I drink the water. Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That's Deuteronomy 6. The problem is, we get stuck there. We get stuck there at Deuteronomy 6. Okay? We forget, as Christians, to go to Matthew 22. We forget. Oh, I'm dropping everything. Matthew 22. Let's pick these things up. Verse 34 to 40. I used it a few weeks ago. It says this. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, because they were Sadducees. There you go. Had a couple of you got it. They gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, that's an old joke as well, isn't it? A lawyer asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. Then Jesus throws the curveball. And he says, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. I would imagine that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were like, well, what's that? Sometimes I do believe that when Jesus spoke sometimes, because he loved having a pop at the Pharisees and the Sadducees, I do believe that when he spoke sometimes to these people, there was a smile on his face. That he was sort of like, that's confused you. Just told you to love people. Stop inventing your own laws. So, Jesus adds, doesn't he? He adds to Deuteronomy 6. Or, should I say, that what he says here in this commandment, because it is a commandment that Jesus speaks, what it does, it brings out the essence of their teaching from Deuteronomy 6. It brings out the essence, it brings out what's behind the teaching of Deuteronomy 6. Moses summed it all up in 10 commandments. We're all familiar with the 10 commandments. Moses came with the 10 commandments. God gave him the 10 commandments and Moses delivered them. Jesus takes the 10 commandments and condenses them down to 2. I suppose he puts them in a nutshell, as people would say, in a nutshell. He says, love the Lord God. If we look at the first word, for just a moment, we will see that all the law from the Old Testament is fulfilled in one word. And that word is love. Love the Lord God with all your heart, all your strength, all your mind, all your soul. Everything about you. Doesn't leave anything out. Doesn't say your little finger on your right hand can go and do what it wants. Everything. It's the whole of us. Romans 13:10 says, love does no wrong to a neighbour. And this is the key, second part of it. It says, therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love. See, too much time in a church, in some teaching, in some teachers is spent on fear. No, the fear of the Lord. No, the love of the Lord. It's the love of the Lord. God didn't, we've done this when we did the Ten Commandments. God didn't give us the Ten Commandments to hem us in. God gave us the Ten Commandments to keep us safe. You know, I was talking to someone about this the other day. You wouldn't, if you've got a front garden, I said this when we did Ten Commandments. If you had a front garden and it had no fence around and you had little kids and they were playing on their little bikes or trikes or whatever, and they're running around and all of a sudden you're looking out the window and your kid goes flying off your front garden into the road, nearly gets run over, you'd be horrified. I'd be horrified, definitely. So, what would you do? Would you ask, fine, I'll watch them out the window more. Or stand out in the garden with them. No, you'd build a fence. You'd put a fence there, wouldn't you? And what would the fence be for? Would the fence be to constrict them, or would it be to give them freedom, but within boundaries? Well, that's what the laws are for. That's what the Ten Commandments were for. That's what these two commandments that Jesus says, where he sums up the whole of the law in two commandments. Love the Lord God with all your heart, all your strength, all your mind, all your soul. And the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. Love does no wrong. Romans 13:10, as I said a minute ago. Love does no wrong to a neighbour, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. See, all obedience starts here. Love. You see, I cannot be obedient to something that I do not love. I cannot be obedient to God if I don't love God. We must love God to be obedient. It's where it starts. Nothing is done right that is not done here. Love. Love is the leading affection. It affects everything else. Love gave the law and so gives the foundation to the rest. And so it's the first thing given to us, love. And everything else given to us is out of love. Everything that comes to us is out of love because love came first. Which means that mankind, us, we are created to be cut out for love. We are. We're made to love. We weren't made as robots. We're made to love. Love God. Love others. Which is why the law, when you look at the Jewish in the Old Testament, the law was, the boxes and everything else. It's on the heart. Law is written in the heart. If it's not in your heart, then you won't obey it. It's a law of love. Not designed to restrict us, as I said, but enable us to thrive. It is the basis of everything. So how do we become kingdom-minded? I said this a few weeks ago. Love God as he loves us. If love is the fulfilling of the law, then the yoke of the commandment, love your neighbour as yourself, is very easy. If we understand love. If we love God and we understand that God loves us abundantly, above all else, God loves us. If we understand that and grasp that and get it in here and in here, then actually loving others is easy. Because then we understand where we were. Excuse me. What we were like and still struggle from and still attain to be better, then we understand that God loves others. This is important. Love is the rest and satisfaction of the soul. If you do not have love, well, I'm not going back to them verses I put up there when I laid myself open for everyone. And we put them all up. Stuart is kind and all that. We're not going back there at the moment. I'm getting over the last time. So number two, who should praise him? Who should praise God? Everyone. Everyone and everything. Christy, there's a creche out there now if you want to take them. Or take them through the classroom if you want. Everyone and everything. God is praised by the angels in heaven. Yeah? Psalm 103:20 says, "Bless the Lord, O you, his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. A multitude came together to praise him when Jesus was born." Luke 2:13-14 says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Revelation. I love the book of Revelation. Revelation 7:11-12 says, "And all the angels were standing round the throne, and round the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their face before the throne and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honour and power and might to our God forever and ever. Amen." It says that earlier. Revelation 4:5-4. And it says, "Our Lord God Almighty," you know, and the winged creatures fly around, and then the 24 elders cast their crowns into the middle and throw themselves on the floor. And I sort of tried to sort of time it, you know. But I think I was wrong. And I think it was probably longer than what I thought. But it's a continuous thing. Go back to Psalm 145. "I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless your name." You go back up to Revelation, and the 24 elders are throwing their crowns in and throwing themselves off the thrones that surround the throne to worship God, to worship the King of Kings, to worship Jesus. So it says to me that's an everyday occurrence. Actually, it's more than an everyday occurrence. It's an every moment, every minute, every second that we should bless our God forever and ever. That doesn't mean that we sit or we go on our knees forever and ever and we don't get up and never do anything. Because as I said, the whole of our lives, everything in our life should be praise to an awesome God. Revelation, where I just read from, speaks about continual praise in heaven. All of creation praises God. In the sense that creation, not just us, the whole earth, trees, everything, they show the greatness of God when they're there. When you see a tree, when you see a sunset, when you see people around you, when you see the grass, just God is his creation. I mean, he started showing off when he made you and me. And he really showed off when he made women, because apparently, so I've been told, they're the pinnacle of his creation. We were created men, that's fine, that's good. We were first, that's all right. So, but the women were the pinnacle of creation. I mean, that's just showing off, isn't it? Yeah, it did, yeah, but it still came from him. So, we were just us. So, you know, just being able to take a rib and create woman. Beauty that entered our lives, men, seriously. Okay? We need to understand that. That they are the beauty in our lives. But, yeah, God. His whole creation shows his greatness. You can read some of that in Psalm 148, Psalm 19. Let's just read Psalm 19. Psalm 19 says, there we go. Psalm 19, let's go 1-6. So, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaim his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words where whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Psalm 148 and Psalm 19. Okay, there are lists. And it lists the sun, the moon, the stars, fire and hail, snow, rain, wind, weather, mountains and hills, fruit trees and cedars, wild animals, cattle, snakes and birds, praising God together. There was a song, wasn't there? Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Yeah. But it's true. But it's more than everything that has breath. The whole creation. You know, it says in the Bible about if you don't praise God, even the stones, even the rocks will cry out. We need to be a people that praise God in our lives, whole of our lives, every day. All of heaven and earth come together to praise our God. You find that in Psalm 96 and Psalm 150. Well, Psalm 96 verse 11 and Psalm 150 verse 6. In the Old Testament, there were certain people who would have had a special role, who would have led others in praise. Priests, the Levites, temple singers, Miriam, David, like we today have worship leaders. People that lead us in worship. People that God gifts to lead in worship. But they weren't the only people who were to praise God. All were to praise him. And all are to praise him now. See, this is the thing that we need to understand. That when God set up praise within the Israelites, it wasn't just for the Israelites to praise him. Okay? It was intended to lead nations to know and to praise him. Psalm 67:2-3 says, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. That's not New Testament. That's Psalms. That's the Old Testament. Praise is set to bring others into God's presence. So it can't be just this. It's got to be our lives. Everything in our lives has got to be praise, has got to be worship. Everything. See, some people say there's a distinction between praise and worship. But if you look in the dictionary, worship mentions praise and praise mentions worship. It's one and the same. We have this thing, oh, we're going to be worshipped, so we're going to do it slow and soft. And then we're going to have praise, so we're going to be loud and fast. Actually, it's all praise. It's all worship. Whether you're a loud person or a quiet person, whether you're a energetic or you're sort of like, quiet, slow, it's fine, we're doing the pace of well. You're praising and worshipping God. It's all praise and worship of our God. The New Testament in Romans 15. Romans 15, 7-12 says, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "Therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name." And again he said, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him." And again, Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." Coming to an end. Excuse me. Must be sank in the water. This praise is not only with our mouths. It's also with our lives that we are to praise him. Psalm 145 says, "Every day I will bless you." God blessed us by sending his son to us, by sending him to die for us in our place, to take our sins on himself. So how should we bless God? Should it just be through our mouths? No. It should be for our whole lives, including our mouths. Romans 12:1-2 says, "I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Because of what he has done, our minds renewed every day, not conforming to this world. See, we've tested, haven't we, and we've tasted that God is good, and that God is perfect, and that God is great. And out of that, we should live our life. We should praise God with our lips, but not just in singing. Verse 4 in Psalm 145 says, "One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." Again, that's just not our lips, that's everything about us. We need to declare what God has done in word and in deed, in how we live out our lives in our communities. Love your neighbour as God has loved you. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim..." This is the thing we forget to read in this bit. "That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light." See, we concentrate on that bit of being called out of darkness into his light. But what we forget to add is that you may proclaim the excellencies of him. Number 3. When is God to be praised? All the time. All the time, as I said earlier, every second. Our lives should be praising him. Every moment that there is, we should never be found wanting. When we walk down the street, when we get out of our bed and we walk down and we have breakfast with other people, or we have lunch with people, or we walk down the street, or we go to work, or we go to school, wherever you go, whatever you do, is a moment. And in that moment, people should see God in you. to see Jesus, a reflection, almost in that sense, of who Jesus is in you. A good witness. There we go, church language. A good witness. That's what we should be, a good witness. Actually, we should shine Jesus. In the Old Testament, there were times, special times, like the Sabbaths, new moons, festivals. In Psalm 119 it says, seven times a day I praise you for your righteous rules. I'd take it further than that. It shouldn't be seven. As I just said, it should be every moment. Psalm 145, 1 and 2, well, I said at the beginning, says, I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever, ever. Every day, every moment, at all times, love God. And you know what? This might be a shock for some people. Love people. Honestly. Love God. It should be our motto. Love God. Love people. You can't love God and not love people. Okay? You need to know that you can't love God and not love people. You must love people. Love your neighbour as yourself. Love your neighbour as yourself. Even if you're not a happy person, work at it. I do have to, Tammy said about my relaxed face. I'm relaxed. Sometimes it can be sarcasm, can't it? But my relaxed face, and I have to work at it. I really do. It's sometimes when I'm deep in thought, or actually not deep in thought, Tammy said that whole thing about mine, and sometimes she will go, she don't do it anymore. She'd be like, what are you thinking? Are you okay? What's going on in there? Nothing. No, you can't have nothing going on, because Tammy's mind's going here, there, oh, the washing, the tea. Did I offer you a cup of tea? I did offer you a cup of tea. That was an hour ago. And an hour ago, when she went to make you a cup of tea, she went past the washing machine. Oh, put some washing in there. And the kids need their lunch. Oh, no way. And all that. And then all of a sudden she goes, oh, it's a cup of tea to be made. I don't know why I said that. It was a mine. And Tammy go, you can't have nothing going on in your mind. And I'm like, I am. I said, you ever seen The Simpsons? We don't watch it anymore because there was some stuff on it that was a bit bad for kids and about God as well. But one of the things I was talking to him once, someone said to him, they showed a thing of Homer. And there was a thing that was going on, it just had a little bubble come out of his head. And all the words were, la 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 la. And I said to Tam, sometimes, la 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 la, I've shut down and I'm fine. Miserable face. But what we have to do is try and train our face. You know, if you walk to church, or you get out of the car in the car park, and you've got your Bible, morning, we're people of joy. Morning! Let's be people of joy. Let's be people that tell our face that we've got joy. Let's be people that love one another. Let's be people that have grace for the people who have got miserable faces. Okay? There's nothing wrong. You've not upset me. I'm just relaxed. And you know what? When we start getting that right, we won't see this place filled. We'll be having to have two or three, four or five services a day. Because you know what? That's the difference between us, or should be the difference between Christians and non-Christians. That we have the joy of the Lord. That we are forgiven. that we are restored, that we are redeemed. And out of that should come a love for other people. Loving your neighbour. You know what? I actually shouldn't add or take away from the Bible, should you really? But I wanna challenge us even more. Okay? Jesus is quite challenging in himself. Okay? When he says, love your neighbour as yourself. Some of us need to learn to love ourselves a little bit. It's not a sin to like yourself. To actually say, you know what, God loves me. There must be something there. I can love me too. Okay? You can love yourself. I don't mean to the point where you're in the front of the mirror. I can't do that. Anyway. I don't mean to the point of where it's a sin. Do you know what I mean? You're just loving yourself a little bit too much. Okay? But I'm talking about you can love yourself. It's fine. God gives you permission to love yourself. It says that in that verse, doesn't it? Love your neighbour as yourself. So I think if you treat your neighbour bad, that must mean because you don't think of yourself very highly. So we need to be people that think of ourselves a bit more highly than we do. And love ourselves, you know? Love ourselves. Said, we're the top of creation. Women, the pinnacle of creation. We can love ourselves. You know, we're sons of the Most High God. Highly favoured. Daughters, beautiful daughters of the Most High God. Cherished by God. We can love ourselves. Because when we love ourselves, we'll love our neighbour as ourselves. But I actually do want to go further. Maybe love your neighbour more than you love yourself. Maybe love your neighbour more than you love you. You know? It's hard. It is hard. You know? Because you need to work out ways in which you can show that love to people. Anyway. Amen. That's it. We're done. Let's take communion. Let's all just stand for a moment. Lord of all, just very mindful that we need to be people that praise you every day and bless your name. That we need to be people that extol you enthusiastically. That we need to be people that are in a personal relationship with you. And Lord, I just want to say right now, you can say it yourselves however you want to say it, but you know, when we pray sometimes at the front, I'm just speaking with God. And it, you know, you just do the same. But Lord, I love you. I worship you, I honour you. Lord, I know that you pick me up when I make stupid mistakes. Lord, help me to love the people around me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Sing a song. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Let me see people as you see them. Lord, help me to do my utmost to speak to people about you in how I live my life and, if necessary, in words. Help me. Help me not shy away from situations, Lord. Help me be bold to love people even more than I love myself. Help me be all that you've intended me to be. You've not intended me to be, just come and sit in a chair. You've intended me to reach people, to tell people about your love, to show people your love. So that they may become all that you have intended them to be. Not to fill the church, but to fill your kingdom. take people out of the kingdom of darkness. Lord, and only this is possible because of your love for us. Because how you have loved us and how you love us. Lord, and that all comes down to your Son coming down on the cross for us. That he spent his life, he spilled his life out for us. Spilled his blood and his body. And Lord, today as we take communion, we remember the blood that was spilled. We remember the body that was broken. And even though you had the power and the authority to call down armies of angels to take you off that cross, you didn't, because you love us. And because you love us, we are here today and we have the chance to worship you and remember what you did. So thank you, Lord. Bless your name every day, forever and ever and ever. Bless your name. Amen. When you are ready, if people want prayer this morning, I'd love to pray with you. If there are things going on in your life and you need prayer for it, then I want to pray with you. I want to bless you. So please, if you want prayer this morning, the front is open. I'd love to pray with you.